Sometimes you got to say, thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. You got to let him know you love him. And I worship and adore you. I come to bow down before you. Oh, glory, oh, glory. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's in him we live. It's in him we move. It's in him we have our being. We do everything in him. And because of that, he gives you the grace. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Sweet anointing. Sweet Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place. You are welcome in this place. And we honor you and we submit to you. We call you the Lord of our life. We call you Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We say that you're all that to us. And we thank you for it. We humble ourselves even right now. Just lift up your hands. We humble ourselves even right now. In the midst of the situation, in the midst of the circumstance, while the fire is going, we still praise you. We honor you because our expectation is not in the outcome. It's in the sovereignty of who you are, that you'll be God in spite of which way it goes. You'll be God regardless of what they say. You're God independent of how it comes out. God is not on trial. My circumstances is. Oh, glory be to God. My God's not on trial. He's going to be God when it's all over. And he's going to still be God. And we love you for it. Give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may have your seats in the presence of our King. You know, one of the most powerful things that we know it is to be in the will of God. I don't care what's going on. Get me in the will. I don't care what they're talking about. Get me to the wheel. Because I know when I'm in the wheel, that's the safest place for me to be in. My hope and strength is in the will of God. That's a powerful word. It's not in the outcome. It's in the wheel. Because as long as I'm in the wheel, I can tell you the outcome. You know, we were dealing with the subject of faith. And then on Sunday, we were dealing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But as I was meditating upon this word, I was going into my faith direction. And the Holy Ghost said, bring a balance. Because sometimes you can be trying to get in faith and you can be trying to let the Holy Spirit guide. But I don't know how to really delineate and know the difference between when I'm in faith or when it's just my mind. Can I help you? See, my job is to listen to the Holy Spirit and make what God's saying as plain as possible. To make what you got to do as simple as possible. That all you really got to do is make the choice. Amen? But if I don't know how to make the choice, I can't distinguish what's going on. I'm confused, and plus, I want to do it, but I don't know how to do it. So we need the Holy Ghost help. Amen. I want to title this, If You Only Believe. You'll clap with me later on. Don't worry about it. But if you only believe, because the objective of the Father is to get you into the will. But now watch this. The will of God, well, let's say, the will of God is also derived, developed, and included you in it. So the will of God needs you in the will as much as you want to get in the will. Because the will is not fulfilled unless you are in it. So God wants you to know it more than you want to know it. Oh. See, if you only believe what God is telling you, you don't wrestle with getting in the wheel. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'm going to do some celebrated texts because we already know it. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. Glory be to God. We already know the text. But for the increase of what we're doing, God, I thank you. You're so faithful. Jesus is Lord. I ain't lying to you. Yes, he's Lord. Jesus, he's Lord. Because he can take your mind off the problem. Yes, sir. If you ever get in the wheel, you can take your mind off the problem.
Yes, sir.
I'll preach it right now. He can take your mind off the problem that you don't even know you got a problem because you're in the wheel.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
But long as you concentrate on the problem get magnified.
Yes, yes,
yes. Huh. Is that all right with anybody? It's all right with me. Jeremiah chapter 1, and look at verse 4. And it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So God says, before you were formed, I knew you. And before I sanctified you, I already ordained you. So that means that whatever you're doing, it was what he already planned for you to be doing if you're in the wheel. And whatever he planned for you to be doing, it's a part of his plan for what got to get done. Because I already ordained you to be a prophet. So you was already called before we were chosen. See, somebody can't choose you except he already called you. We just confirmed you were called. Remember I told you to land on them hands? I can't put nothing in you. I can only confirm what he already said about you. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going to take you somewhere tonight. Because if you only believe, he said that before verse 2, read chapter verse 2 with me. Read verse 5 with me. Chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee, now listen, our life is a sum total of the choices we made. I mean, let's not get all spiritual and get real spooky. Our life is a sum total of the choices we made. And see, that word regret is really an old English word where it's really regretter. And a regretter is someone that sits back and sorrow and has remorse and go through anguish because of the decision or the choices that they made.
Yeah.
Amen? Have you ever regretted anything?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you were really talking about whatever choice you made prior to that emotion.
Uh-huh.
That was based on the decision you made.
Uh-huh.
See, God already ordained for us to be where we're supposed to be, and it's in a system that's set up to orchestrate or guide us to where he planned for us to be. So God's really looking for you to be at an appointed place at an appointed time if you stick to the script. So saying that, then I would say this with all integrity. Some of us are not where we're supposed to be based on the choices we made. Man, some of us is living where we should be because we made some choices, but there's some of us that are not where we're supposed to be based on the choices we made. We ain't mad because God is merciful.
Oh, yeah.
But let's really be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be further than where I'm at. I should have different things than come on, somebody.
Yeah.
But if I go ahead and get honest, somewhere I got out of the wheel. And it don't have to be a negative connotation that I've done something wrong. I just didn't stay with the script. Because you know you can get successful and feel good and put away the plan.
Yes, sir.
The hardest job is to feel good and still do good.
Because
you know when you feel good, you want to go independent. I'm no longer subject to anybody because I'm large and in charge. But right at that moment, I begin to fail. Because I no longer submit to the due order as we're going to look at. Now, go into your Bibles. Let's work this out. Let's work this out. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. See, we all want to know what the will of God is, but the biggest challenge is not knowing it, is how do I know God's will versus my mind? See, I don't have a problem with the will. I just can't tell the will. Have anybody felt anywhere similar to that? Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I just can't tell what it is. Because I haven't learned how to distinguish between. Did I tell you Proverbs chapter 3? That's what I meant. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to go somewhere this evening. I believe God that if we get this tonight, I'm telling you, your life will literally change. Because that's all we need to know. I'm not worried about how the outcome going to come. Just teach me how to get in the wheel. Teach me how to follow the wheel. I trust him for the results. Because I'm not God. He is. I just got to learn how to cooperate with God. And the tool he gave me is the Holy Spirit, which is always trying to tell me, but I can't tell the difference between him, my mind, or my problem. Because all of them talking to me. And then I got my best friend who got 20 problems trying to tell me about my one problem. And they only talking to me based on their own past hurt, experience, and disappointments. I better be still, let the Holy Ghost move here. Verse 6. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall. Now I'm going to make this real simple tonight. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now, we're talking about the Lord, but the operation of God is through the Holy Spirit guiding. Because the Holy Spirit's job assignment is to tell you the will of God, what saith the Lord. So in all your ways, you're going to have to acknowledge him. Now, acknowledging him is not just saying only God can talk to me. No, acknowledging him is acknowledging whatever he has set in place. Let's say example, you know, in the church, you got the deacons and they here, they submitted to the pastor's leadership. But the deacon can't tell me nothing. I need to talk to the pastor. Well, you're not acknowledging the pastor. Because the pastor set the deacon in place for the operation of God. So if you want to honor and acknowledge the pastor, then at least respect and hear the deacon out. And then ask, can I talk to the pastor? But don't tell me you just told the deacon to shut up. Because really, you told me to shut up. Because I got the deacon's back. Come on, somebody help me now. I'm trying to teach you how to cooperate. So the Holy Spirit's assignment is to represent the Lord. So his job is to say what thus said the Lord. So he's going to tell you what the Lord said so that you can cooperate with the will. Amen? See, some of the times our problem is we're not subject. We won't submit to the authority. Therefore, we can't get in alignment with the will. When it was all set there to help facilitate the process. Because after a while, we got too many people. So the Lord ain't going to be able to talk to all of us like that. So he got the Holy Spirit that he uses to facilitate the communication process. So the Holy Spirit talks to all of us. And he tells us what the will of the Lord is. Amen? So now he says right here in verse 6. See, because he's letting us know, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, look at Psalms 119. I'm feeling it coming now. I'm going to let you know truth coming around the corner. Go to Psalms 119. I got to make it so plain. Oh, you're more than welcome. I love you for that. Somebody appreciate what I'm talking about. Psalms 109. See, because I'm telling you, once you know what the word of the Lord is for your life, you begin now to start learning how to cooperate with the will. And now, next thing you know, you're in the will of God, and the promises of God is yea and amen, if you believe. See, that's why the title, if you only believe in the operation of God, you can get in the will of God quick. So what Psalms, are you there? When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Psalms 119, and look at verse 105. Boy, this is a powerful text right here. I'll let you go home and do your own studying, but I'm going to give it to you, and I ain't going to charge you. Amen. Psalms 105, and the text says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now watch this. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So now the word of God becomes a lamp unto my feet. So now, based upon me applying and receiving the instructions from God, it becomes a lamp unto my feet. Now, it shows and directs and gives my feet a course of action and where I should be going, that I'm not everywhere. Amen? So it's a lamp unto my feet, but then it becomes a light unto my path. Now, it's a difference between my feet and my path. So because, watch this, remember I told you about Ruth. Ruth, when she was on romancing with Boaz, Ruth went in, and Boaz was her vision from God. He was a Boaz man. See, some of us done went, we ain't got no Boaz, but we're going to keep working. But I'm telling you, we go get one of them Boaz was a man that was a wealth man, but he was a man that was indicative of the promise. Because Ruth, when her husband died, she lost her headship, but she also lost her covenant. I remember my three. She lost her covenant, and because she lost her covenant, she lost the rights and the privilege to walk in prominence. So she was believing God for a Boaz man. See, a Boaz man was one that can reinstate me back into my prominence, to my position, and into my prosperity, and in my prosperity. See, that's the qualifications of the next man.
Yeah,
I just gave them to you. Come on now. Don't tell me you ain't got nothing. You ain't my man, because I'm telling you who I'm looking for. Now, I ain't got no description on how he look, but I do got some qualifications of what he should be when he comes. But now when Ruth did find the Boaz man, and the Boaz man made the provisions for Ruth to come and dine with him.
Yeah.
And Ruth came in. She didn't come in, and when he told her to come and lie with her, Ruth went and sat at his feet. And she didn't get at his bed. She surely didn't come up to the head. She went and got at the feet, and that was indicative of her submission. See, he said that my word is a lamp unto your feet. See, in order for you to walk in the will, you're going to have to submit to the way. So my word is a lamp unto your feet. And then as a result of your submission, it will become a light to your path. You won't have to worry about darkness, confusion, and stumbling and falling, long as you submit to what my word told you. Is this making sense to you? But he says, my word shall be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. But now watch this. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. I know I'm talking fast now because I feel my help coming. But Proverbs chapter 6. You know, I love my wife. I thank God for her. She just blesses me. In the midst of my story, I just thought about her. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Now watch this. Are you there? When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
It says, for the commandments is a lamp, and the law is a light. Now watch this. The commandments is a lamp, and the law is a light. But now here come the part here that only way I'm going to get from there to here. Are you with me? The only way I'm going to get from there to here is I'm going to have to comply. He said, for thy commandment is a lamp, and thy law is a light, and reproof of instructions are the way of life. See, I'm going to have to receive the reproof that's going to bring instructions back into my life. Because, see, I got to put my life governed unto something. And watch this. At any time that I don't let the Lord be my governor, to be the ruler, whoever I select over the Lord becomes my Lord. And now I'm subject to somebody else's jurisdiction and rules based upon how my life should be, when I should be subject to the Lord, who is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And his commandments and his law is what's going to guide me and keep me. So my life is hid in the will of God, not in the way of man. Are you with me? See, if we will allow him, he will direct our path. He will remove the obstacles and make straight your foot. See, that's what he will do. But if you get out of the wheel, you got to remove them, or you got to go through them. Some of us going through the obstacles that were supposed to be removed if we would have submitted to the wheel.
Yes, sir.
It's just, see, let's back up a little bit. Go in your sanctified mind and think about where you are right now in a particular situation that could be trying to threaten you and trouble you. And it only has an advantage over me because I got out of the wheel. Had I not got out of the wheel, the situation, one, would not even be real. And surely it would not have no authority over me, because what do that got to do with me when I'm in the wheel? See, we got to present and represent ourselves back to God so God can present himself, represent us. See, God goes before us and contend with those things that would come against us, long as you're subject to the will. Is this making any sense? Now, I looked up this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, which we started out. But watch this. It says in the New Living Testament, it says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Literally, he will show you. That's what we're looking for. Lord, what is your will? What is your way? But that's only if you seek my. See, you got to submit yourself to. See, the Bible says, submit yourself unto God, then resist the devil. You can't resist until you submit. See, you'll never get rid of the devil until you submit to God. Because God ain't going to dwell with the devil. Him and the devils ain't going to be in partnership in your life. Now, let's departmentalize your life so you don't go and think suicide is the way out. I'm not talking about every area of your life. I'm talking about taking one area at a time and bringing God back to be Lord.
Yes,
ain't none of us got it all together. But I can begin the work on my life by bringing one area and bringing it subject to the Lord. And now how I get dominion, I begin to take another area and then take another area. And pretty soon my whole life is subject to the will of God. Are you with me? But now watch this. The will of God in Scripture, when you see the word will of God in Scripture, it always talks about, or the Bible uses three different types of will when it says the will of God. One is the providential will. Now, the providential wills are those things that it don't make a difference what you're talking about. This is God's due order about that. It ain't got nothing to do with preference, gender. It don't have nothing to do with ethnicity. Everybody is subject to the providential will. That means this is the order, the law of how the kingdom operates. Everybody say providential.
Providential.
See, because you have to be able to distinguish the difference between the three wheels.
Yeah.
See, we trying to understand the wheel when we don't understand the way.
Yeah.
See, you got the providential wheel, but then you got the moral wheel. See, I'm going to help you to be able, see, when you start looking at stuff, you can assess it to really say what the will of God is without sitting there trying to get real spiritual. You know how some folks get real spiritual on you? Everything the will of God. Ooh, that's God. Come on, man, cut that out. All that ain't God. Some of that's just you done told me what you want. But I can break it down to really define what is the Bible will of God for my life. So you got the providential will, but then you got the moral will. Now, the moral will is those things that God has given us as commands. Now, the providential will is the due order, it's the principles or the laws of the body of Christ, meaning it ain't subject or respect to no different ethnicity, no different denomination. Everybody got to obey by them. So you don't even have to question them. Your debating ain't going to change them because that's the way the Lord has established the order. But now when it comes to the moral will is those things that is given us as commands. And see, there's certain decisions that you never have to approach God about. See, everybody wrestling with, is this the will? Is that the will? Some things we got to just, it's morally not God. Come on now. It's just morally, that ain't God. You know that if you ain't never went to church. Me having a little girl 9 years old talking about that's my girlfriend. That's morally wrong. Ain't nothing you got to pray about. Well, you don't understand our affections and how much we love. Man, that's not God. Ain't no affection you supposed to have for that little kid. That's just morally wrong. You see where I'm going? There are some things are morally unacceptable. You ain't got to pray about is that God or not God. It already validated itself by what you told me you're doing. The Paul said in the scriptures, I judge no man. Your sin have judged you. So when you say you've done certain things, it judged you automatically. You say you stole somebody, you already judged. The law say you ain't supposed to steal. I don't have to pray, well, do we pray if we supposed to call somebody or tell somebody, or is that right or is that wrong? He stole. Yes, sir. That's morally not acceptable. Yes, sir. Amen? So there's some things you have to be able to determine and be able to analyze that morally that's not God. Yes, sir. Amen? So when we look at that, watch this now. See, should I cheat on my taxes? Come on. Because, you know, I want to pay more tithes and be a blessing to the church. I mean, in your mind, you would reason with yourself to try to justify your actions. But that's morally wrong. Yes, sir. Now, I ain't asked who did it. I'm just trying to tell you what it is. Come on now. Don't act like y'all always been in church. Because some of us done it once or twice now. Thought you trying to get more calling. You know, remember back in the day, you got everybody's kids on your taxes. Them ain't even your kids. You got a little rainbow coalition sitting up in your house collecting money on them. You got Uncle So-and-so kids. That's wrong. Yes, sir. You know, we used to, oh, don't act like y'all brand new. Don't make me call them people and ask them, do you know any names? I got a list of folks. Are you looking for any one of them? Come on now, but God redeems us and he saves us, amen. But that's morally wrong. Amen. Should I lie on my resume? Come on now. I mean, it's just things that you got to categorize. What's the will? This is a good job. You don't know what they're paying. So I need to lie on there so we can get an opportunity. Then when they go search it out and find out they got the papers in their hand or the truth and you got on your paper, you went to that school. You ain't never been there. We was considering you, but we had one problem. You put down there, you went to such and such school in 60, we won't say 60, nothing. But you went to such and such school, amen, in 19, I can't get it right. You went to that school. But on your lineup of all the schools you really went to, how could you went to that school when you was over here? But that school made your resume look good. And you went there and visited one day, but you didn't attend the school. You know, you'd be there, yeah. you just went there. What God's saying, that's morally wrong. And God's trying to realign us and get us back in a place that we're subject to the will of God so he can bless us. You don't need the devil to bless you. Amen? That's how you can tell if I'm out of the will automatically. I don't need the devil to bless me. But now watch this. Not only have I said that we looking for in regards to doing it right, But go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Glory be to God. So you got the providential will, you got the moral will. 1 Thessalonians in your New Testament, amen. Go back towards Peter, right past Colossians. 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 4, verse 3. Look at verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received us, how ought you to walk and to please God? So he's saying, your moral sins, I'm going to show you how to walk and to please God. So what do my walking have something to do with pleasing God? Yes. I don't care how much you praying and all that, you still got to live right. You know, you falling out and fasting up in here, then go outside and act a fool. That's not pleasing the Lord. He said that you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know that the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, my commandments are a lamp unto your. So he says here, you know the commandments that we gave you. I gave you the instructions on how to do it. So you don't have to wonder, am I doing right or wrong? I gave you the instructions. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Verse 5, not in the lust of give me a minute. Let me get my mind. Who said what? Said what? I don't feel bad. That was 40 of y'all ain't got it right. Concupiscence. Yes. We won't do it again. The concupiscence. Even the Gentiles, which know not God. Now, you know I don't like to get stuck. I have it for you. I'll do my work. Amen. But he says that every one of us need to know how to possess our vessels in sanctification and in honor. Sanctification. Sanctification, amen, is according to the order or the commandments, but honor is according to the statutes. See, there's certain things you got to honor. You got to honor the government. You got to, come on somebody, you got to honor the military, the police, you got to honor marriage, you got to, see, there's certain things you got to honor. You don't even have to know if it's the will, you can determine if it's the will of God just by if you dishonored what was established. So you got the providential will, but then you got the moral will. There's some things that's morally already in place. I don't even have to pray about that. Come on, y'all, talk to me. I don't even have to pray because God already put in place the due order of how it go. So if I violate the order, I know it's not the will. But stay with me. Stay with me. I got to prove my text. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Keep going to your right. You're going to pass James. 1 Peter chapter 2, glory be to God. And look at verse 13. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. It says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, that's your police, or the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So even by your submitting and cooperating to that which is right, you put to silence everybody talking about what is the will. Yeah. See, some people wrestling about what the will is when it's already presented. I can give you a revelation right here. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve was dealing with that fruit, we won't even say apple, we'll say fruit till we prove it was an apple. Amen? Amen. But when they was wrestling with the fruit, the revelation of this was Adam erred when he partook of Eve's error. Because Adam didn't eat the fruit. He ate it after Eve ate it. And the scripture says Eve ate it and she gave it unto him. And he ate also. But now in his eating, he violated several governmental positions. I know I'm going a little deep right here. But not only did he violate that the rule was you shouldn't have ate it, because that's what God said. But he violated the rule that he didn't even leave his household. Because he did and agreed with Eve when he was the head. And then he violated another rule that he abandoned and even sabotaged the next generations that was behind him. Because we was all walking in grace until they ate that apple. See, some of our decisions can sabotage your next generation.
Yes, sir.
That you got now, we fighting, my kids fighting and wrestling because of a decision I made, because I violated due order. But the moment I got back in alignment and got in the wheel, I made provisions for my children that they start prospering. They start doing better because, watch this, he just didn't say in sanctification, but he said in honor. See, when you dishonor something, you automatically are disqualified for the benefits that honor provided.
All right.
Can I teach this right? See, it wasn't just that we did wrong, but even in our wrong, we broke some laws and some standards, and then we dishonored some authorities that was in place. Therefore, we put everybody in danger in the house. Example, you know, I used to tell my boys, man, don't go out there and mess with them folks in the street, them gangs, and then run back up in this house. Because them folks out there ain't trying to hear about who in your house. They just know you in there. So now you just jeopardize and put everybody else in here at risk because of your decision you made out there. Now, had you ran down the street and hid in a building, it would have just happened to you. But the moment you ran back in your house, everybody in this house is subject to who trying to get to you. We don't even know the gang, folks. We opened the door to them. And because they were so determined, they walked on in and sabotaged everybody in here. Had I knew they was dangerous, I'd have never opened the door. But they weren't looking for me. They was looking for... So we got to even understand in our decision making, we can't dishonor some certain things that's in place, because I bring havoc or judgment on my whole life, and then I bring it on the life of my children. Is this all right? See, I got to release my children from under a curse that I induced because of my decision. But this is what the text said. Did not the text say it? So don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. Now go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to get off of you. See, God's trying to teach us, not only do I got you covered, but I got to get you back under the covering. Because see, some of us is walking around uncovered. See, can I just really help you? The job of the preacher is not just to bring you a message, but it's to bring you a covering. See, when you up in a ministry or church where they preaching the word and the word of God and the preacher right with God and we living and giving, there's a supernatural blanket that put it over you that reinstates you back into the promise, as he said in Jeremiah, that when I made you, I already knew you, I already predestined you, I already called you to be. But somewhere we got out of the wheel and got from under the covering, so I never seen the promises. But the moment I get back in the wheel and up under the covering, the promises reinstated, and I'm walking in glory. Hallelujah. You can start seeing the glory of God fall back on your life because I'm back in the will of God and the covering of God covers me from the winds. You'll know when you're back under the covering because you can sense the peace of God. Oh, come on, church. Come on, somebody. This ain't nothing that's just being said. This is a spiritual foundation. This is a premise that God has established. And the purpose for us is not to get toys and cars. It's to stay in the will so we can walk in the abundance of God, that the will of God can be accomplished in us, through us, and even for us. That was a good place to give God some praise right there. See, that's what this is all about. Get back in the wheel so I can get up under the canopy of the protect. I don't even know what I got coming, but I'd never discover it if I'm not up under the canopy of the protection of God. Boy, this is good to me. This is real, y'all. This ain't church. You have entered into a covenant with a living God. And we... Some of us don't even know what it is to experience the abundance of the grace of God because we've never really got submitted to the will. We've never been covered by the... Come on. Once the hand of God is up over your life, it's like an umbrella that keeps you from the storms of life. Have you ever wondered why some things just haven't overtaken you? It ain't that you've been doing all that. You got it going on. You're under the canopy of God's protection. See, that Psalm 91 ain't just something to be saying. But he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. See, come on. He becomes a shield and a buckler over you. He becomes a strong tower, a refuge place that you can run in, and I'm safe. Hallelujah. Because in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome. That's a covenant. He ain't lied on neither one of them points. Have you had any tribulations? But he said, be of good cheer. Have you ever been in a problem and all you had to think about that God got me? And his overcoming ability becomes your overcoming ability. But when you are, the Bible says, a miserable thing to be in the world without hope. That's those that don't have a relationship with God. I'm not saying you're going to win every time, but the grace of God is you covered. Yeah, some stuff you got to go through just to grow up. So you ain't going to get eliminated from every situation. But the covering is what you're dependent on. I don't have to win to win. Oh, y'all. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 32. Stay with me. Verse 31. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to God's charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. See, so your covering is in God. It's not in your circumstance. It's not in the outcome. God justifies you. Even when you're wrong, you're still right. Because I got a covenant relationship with God. And if there's any way, if there is a way, and if there's any way, and if there needs a way to be made, God can do it. Because he said, is there anything too hard for me? So even when it looked like it's over, it ain't over. Because I'm still in covenant with God. All right. See, this ain't no hype talk. Yeah. This is covenant talk. Yeah. This is a good thing to know when you're in the battle. This is a good thing to know when you done lost it all. And you look in the drawer and you receive your warranty package. And you look at the package and the date says you still insured. Come on, somebody. And your expiration date is a lifetime.
All right.
Come on.
All right.
It's a sad thing when you look on that policy and they say expiration 2009.
All right. All right.
And you run to the window trying to see if this 09 or 010.
All right.
But when you look on there and it says a lifetime, you shout. You don't worry, you don't know how you're going to do it, but at least you got a hope that it can be done. So you got the providential will, you got the moral will, but then there's the personal will. Come on, y'all. Now watch this, God help us. See, the more familiar we become with the providential will and the moral will, it makes it easier for to determine the personal will. See, the personal will is just what is he telling you to do. See, the moral will is what he's telling everybody to do. I mean, the providential will, everybody got to submit to that. The moral will is everybody is up under that hooper. But the personal will is what is he saying to me? Because just because he told you to do that, that don't mean that's what he's telling me to do. But I got to be able to distinguish between the three, so I don't think I can make that statement just because I want to do what I want to do in this situation.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Because every situation is still subject to all three of the wheels.
Yes, sir.
So if I want to merge most, if I want to break it down and figure out what is the wheel, let's take it through the process. Is this providential? Mm-hmm. Meaning, what did he tell everybody to do? If you in that one, you know you ain't right. Then let's break it down. Let's get down to the moral will. If I'm violating any moral, then I know that ain't right. Ain't no sense in me even talking my personal until I pass them two. Because if I go personal first, I'll violate them just because of what I want to do. Am I helping you? No. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to get you out of here. Are you ready to go home? You better not say no. You better not say no. Glory be to God. Look at I believe this is helping us now. Because this is how you distinguish to know the will of God without going through all that. You got a lot of people doing spiritual gymnastics, but ain't even submitted to the will. Because you done passed or violated the two orders that's in place. You don't even have to pray about that. I got a wife. I ain't got to pray about another woman winking at me and she married.
All right.
But she winked at me twice.
Wow.
Come on now. She winked twice. Don't I got to pray about that? Because she could be my wife. No, that's not the will, sir.
All right.
You got to violate a will to get to the will. That's not the will. Right, watch this. See, Proverbs chapter 3. And see, this is why he said that in Proverbs 6 and 23, because of his reproving, that's his mercy. See, you say when God whooped me, that means like he hate me. Man, when you beat your kids, you don't hate your kids. You trying to whoop the hell out of them. Not beat the hell, but whoop the hell. And some of them, you got to go in there and get the hell because the hell don't want to come out. You got to go in there and get the part of the devil that want to stay with them. But you start whooping it first and see which one I'm hollering. He tell me, that's the devil. He got to come out too. I'm going to keep swinging. But your job is to get the crookedness out of them. So the reproof is good. Thank God we're not bastards. The Bible says if you were illegitimate, you are a bastard. Spiritual bastards are those that don't have fathers, don't have coverings, don't have nobody to oversee them, to instruct them in a godly way. So, children, you can give your parents a hand of praise because you got somebody over you that's going to instruct you to make sure you don't hurt yourself. That's what the reproof is for. It ain't no devious parent. I just want to whoop them. Give me a kid. walk around with a belt. I'm just waiting to beat anybody. Who your daddy? I'm your dad. Come here. See, that's a foolish person. But a real mother and a real father is those that want to get the stuff out of you that can hinder you from your life. So reproof is good. Because that show you love me. The scripture says, no chastisement for the moment seem to be joyous. But later on, it work a better recompense of a reward. Because later on, you'll thank God they with me.
All right. Yes, sir.
Because you'll see where you could have been if you'd have kept going. Are you? Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Read verse 5 and verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy. But he says, now trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Now lean not to your own understanding. Don't depend on your own. See, even though I am an adult, I am a grown man, I'm mature, I always tell my kids, I'm half a hundred. Well, what that mean if I'm still disobedient? You just an old fool. You still ain't submitted to the will. So you ain't saying nothing because you said you half a hundred. That's really a disgrace to your maturity. Because you done wasted 50 years and you still ain't submitted. You'd have been better off saying, I'm a kid. I got to go to work, but I'm a kid. Yeah, because God said, until you learn how to submit to my instructions, you won't be able to get into the will. Therefore, you'll never walk in your abundance. All right. All right. You'll never experience my provision, my protection, and my promises on your life because you keep doing what you want to do. So he said, lean not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, your own ability to figure things out. See, you got to train yourself to say what said the Lord.
Right.
You know how we got that little risk, what would Jesus do? Yeah. That's all good. You just asked the question, but you ain't said you're going to do what he said do. Right. So you got folk walking around, what would Jesus do? Well, what the difference do it make? See, some people just want to know the answer so they can argue with the question, but they're not trying to obey the instructions. So you ain't said nothing, because what would Jesus do? Got that big old wristband? He already told you what he going to do. You ain't trying to do what he said. You just sound good. And you know, a lot of times, you know, we see things the way we want to see them. That's why God said, come on, sit down, let's reason together. I love you enough, I'll even talk to you about your own foolishness. With the provision and the hope that you would submit to what I'm saying. Before judgment come upon you. You know, I was studying something, and I'm going to throw this in. I was studying something in 1 Samuel. I didn't know this until last night when I was studying. You know Saul and David. Y'all know Saul and David. How many know David was a man of God? Raise your hand. Don't be scared because y'all think something. How many of y'all know Saul was a man of God? Raise your hand. I found out last night, Saul was never a man of God. I prove it to you in the text. Talk to me, preacher. Saul was the people's choice. Because remember in 1 Samuel chapter 8, Saul, the people said they wanted Samuel to make a king. And they chose Saul. So when they went and got Saul, the reason why Saul never had a reverence for the things of God, Saul wasn't saved. The Bible says Saul was a goodly man. He wasn't a godly man. Oh, come on, church. You got to get in your Bible. I love this Bible. So I'm thinking all the time Saul was a godly man, just made bad decisions. No, Saul was never godly. He was a good man trying to play godly. And what happened was when the situations came that they need to hear from the Lord, Saul couldn't get to God, so he started listening to the people because he feared the people more than he did God because he never knew God. See, you got some, oh, come on, don't make me mess with you right here. You got some folks trying to act like they know God, but they don't know God. And Saul wind up having to get put in a position where it came out. And watch this. Y'all finna go home. You got to come back next Tuesday. You remember the story where Saul was, and they selected Saul? They selected David. Now, watch this. This is so good to me. God chose David. And God chose David and took David and put David in Saul's house. And David was known for throwing slingshots. You know, David was sharp in them slingshots. He'd hit you in the side of your head from on the top of that rock. You know, boom! And you 500 feet away, man. That doctor done bust. Bah! But Saul was known for throwing javelins. He was good with the knives. Pin your arm up there, hit you right here, put one by your ear. Saul had it going like that, right? Watch this. This is the text now without me messing with you. I'm going to say something, then I'm going to put it in perspective to where we at tonight. Saul was known for throwing javelins. When David got chose, because when the people said that they wanted a king over them instead of saying they wanted God to rule. See, when you don't receive the instructions, you say, I want a king. I want a man's way versus God's way. And God told Samuel, give them what they want, but tell them what the king going to do to them. He going to make them slaves, sell their children, strip their wives. He told them everything, and they still wanted it. Because they wanted to plead. Come on, somebody. See, when you want to please men or yourself more than you want to please God, God tell you the bondage you're about to get into, and yet you still accept it because you never had a reverence for him. So God told Samuel, go ahead and give it to him. The next thing you know, they found Saul. Saul finna be made. He was never a king in terms of the kingdom. He was a good man in the neighborhood. But that's what they asked for. Yes, sir. So now Saul is in the house, and he just got connected with David. David was a man of God that God chose. Saul was a man that the people chose. So when David started to operate in the kingdom of God using wisdom and all that, Saul got mad with David. And he began to throw javelins at David. But he wasn't trying to throw javelins at David. He was throwing javelins at what he was supposed to be. The reason why some folk gonna begin to hate on other folks is because when they see you walking in the wheel, they gonna be throwing stuff at you because you are a reflection of where they supposed to be. Is this all right? See, some folks done missed it. And some people done came up, and watch this. This was a revelation I saw in a continuation in the text. Because David was Saul's replacement. But he was in his house. Now don't start looking at folks all funny. But you could be talking to your replacement based upon your decisions. But you could be somebody else's replacement. Based upon their decisions, according to the will of God. Because, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. Because right here, it was the ark of God that nobody wanted at their house. Because the ark of God represents the will of God. And when people ain't trying to live right, they don't want the will of God at their house. And the will of God won't operate unless you right with God. So one of y'all got to get out of there. It ain't you chasing nobody away. They can't stand to be up under the pressure of the wheel. That anointing will chase you up out of there. You don't have to get rid of the devil. Just get God in there. God gets rid of the devil. Boy, I know. See, the way you get in the wheel is to get God back in your life. And God will get everything in your life that ain't in the wheel out. See, we wrestling with people and chasing them and threatening them. That ain't the way to deal with them. You get closer to God, and God will threaten and chase them and get them out of there. Because they can't stay in the presence of God if they ain't in the will. It's uncomfortable. Just like you couldn't, well, you shouldn't be able to go down to the club and to the liquor store and the dope house and sit up in there. That's uncomfortable because you in the wheel.
Yes.
The only way you can tell me you like it in there, you must be like them.
Yes.
Well, that don't bother me. You know, people can do what they want. Man, them folk in there sinning. What is you talking about? You really telling on yourself. Because you must be doing it somewhere, because you can't say no because you said amen.
All right.
Amen. Can I pick on you a little bit? So God, by his grace, have already built in the system to get rid of the devil. All you got to do is submit to God. Once you submit, then the Holy Spirit comes in and begin to work on the devil. Don't you try to, you ain't no match for the devil. You just get in the wheel. You just run for cover. You just get back up under the canopy of God's protection, and he'll deal with every devil, every crooked thing in your life if you get back in the wheel. Is this preaching good to anybody? See, if the church become the church, you ain't got to worry about the devil, because our God already dealt with the devil. It's only when you get out of the wheel that you got to deal with the devil.
All right.
Boy, this is right with me now. God, by his Spirit, has built in to us a divine mechanism that covers us and protects us. You don't even have to wrestle with them. Just get them in the wheel. Take them back to the will of God. First of all, get you back in the wheel, so when God come through there, he got legal rights.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just put something on you now. See, somebody in that house got to be right with God for God to come through that house and deal with it. Both of y'all can't be in the sin talking about God come in. No, God ain't coming. Y'all going to have to come to the church and get back right, so then you can get God back home. Because God ain't coming to your house if both of y'all in there doing the same thing. Because it wasn't until Adam ate the apple also that judgment came on the house. Eve ate the apple and wasn't no judgment at all. Because God was still merciful, because Adam was still right. But the Bible says that when Adam ate also, come on, somebody. Don't patty cake. You under the warranty of the grace of God. You under the protection of God. Your children, your finances, your men. You just got to keep yourself in the will of God for the grace of God to stay operative in your life, through your life, and for your life. And the Spirit of God will deal with everything that should not be in your life. He said the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. As long as you stay in the Lord, it's the Lord that's going to deal with that. And God said, is my arm too short that I can't box with you? You ain't that tough. You keep playing. And if God ever get the inkling, just a whisper, that you ain't going to get right, he'll come through that house like a tornado. He'll come through your situation like a storm to let you know I'm sovereign. I'm God. You'll never mock me. I'm only putting up with you because somebody in there is right with me. But if I ever thought that it wasn't going to get right, I'll show you what God looks like. The Bible says if you fall, he says that to fall into the hands of a living God, it's a dangerous thing. See, if me and you get a problem, we can go to court, and the court can try to arbitrate and get it right. But if you got a problem with God, ain't nobody on earth can help you. You can run, jump, flip, and hide, but nobody can save you from the hand of God. Church, get back in the will of God. Get back into the personal will where you know you're right with God. And then watch and see the hand of God start making crooked things straight. I'm talking about supernaturally. Right in front of you, God begins to turn it around. He just looking for somebody he can show himself strong on their behalf.
Yes.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. God Almighty. God, we're in a wonderful covenant, y'all. This ain't just...